purpose driven. It's not her personal. It's her purpose. When you see, there's deeper than what meets the eye. There is a soul, a spirit, a divine purpose. Join me Thursdays at 10 a.m. Finding Happy on UNA Radio. Thursdays at 10 a.m. I am purpose-driven. It's not personal. It's purpose. When you see, there's deeper than what meets the eye. There is a soul, a spirit, a divine purpose. Join me Thursdays at 10 a.m. Finding Happy on UNA Radio. Thursdays at 10 a.m.
Hello, 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 and good morning. It's a new day. And we are here. It's April 7, 6:27 a.m. And we are here. And so we're thankful. I'm thankful. I am here, so I'm thankful. And today I'm just going to go straight into it. Of course, this is Finding Happy. I am Coach Raquel, and I'm trying to get myself, I'm trying to build my confidence back to host my podcast. So I'm going to share something. I kind of lost confidence in myself and in my voice for quite a bit of a while. I think this has been like over a year now. And I'm now recognizing it for what it is. I've been muting myself, and that's what I was saying, and I was recognizing that I was. Am I testing, 1, 2, 3? Okay, I'm hoping my microphone is not necessary. Let me check my microphone a little bit here. There we go. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Is that, let me test. I just want to make sure my microphone is working properly. Testing, 1, 2, 3. I don't know if you're actually hearing me. I do not know if you're actually hearing me. I hope so. Oh, or maybe I'm the one not hearing myself. Testing, there we go. Thank you for your patience. So I was saying that I'm trying to regain my confidence as a podcaster. I think that I went through a process of trying to mute myself because I was in the wrong environment. That's what I believe it is. And so today my topic is, my topic is value for value. Value for value. Are you struggling are you struggling with people who don't necessarily value you, but you are struggling trying to get them to see that you value them? Have you ever found yourself in a place where you recognize that you are seeking to convince someone that you could actually add value to them? Convincing people who don't value you, or you're not experiencing the feeling of being valued with these people, but you are busy trying to add value to them or get them to see that you're adding value to them. I'm talking about that because I think that is something that I have suffered from. And because of my past and the kind of childhood I had where it was so challenging and I felt like I had to do things on my own. I was so on my own growing up as a child that having gone through my own pains and challenges, sending myself to school, sending myself to college, to university, graduating university, getting a job, and now being an entrepreneur 9 times over, a serial entrepreneur. And I call myself I am a divine purpose investor. I like investing in other people, in other people's divine purpose. You know, when you're walking in purpose, I want to support that. Anyone who's walking in purpose, I want to support. And so I think what happens is because of my own pain of my past, because of my own childhood trauma, I built a pattern of wanting to add value because that was what I wanted when I was growing up. That's what I still want. I want to feel supported. So I find myself really going, sacrificing even myself, trying to show up with someone else to support them, even though sometimes the return I'm getting isn't equal to what I feel I'm giving, right? So that's what I'm talking about today. The topic is value for value. Value for value. Are you or have you ever seek to support others and add value to them and their life and their purpose and their work when you're not really feeling valued by them? Have you ever found yourself in a situation trying to add value where you don't feel valued? That's what I'm talking about today because I've been through it. And it's something that I would like to say I'm recovering from. I'm recovering from. I don't think I've fully recovered because I still have this need to, like, if I see someone struggling, like, I just want to help because I know what that pain feels like, especially an entrepreneur. If you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to help yourself, or if I see you as someone who has the gift to be an entrepreneur, if I see you as someone who looks like you're going through certain challenges, then I feel as though, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to help you. I'm obligated to help you, even though I don't necessarily feel valued by you. You know what I mean? It's something I've struggled with. So if you've struggled with it too, that's what I'm going to talk about. I think, oh gosh, I can't remember his name. John C. Maxwell, yes. John C. Maxwell says, add value to people. That's what he said. Add value to people. But I've also learned that when he spoke, he didn't just mean to go crazy with it. You know? He didn't just mean go crazy with it and self-sacrifice and not make sure that you too are fed, right? And I don't know if you're like me, but I love adding value. And for me, even with my clients, I believe that if someone invests a dollar in my business, then I'm supposed to return. My return to them should be $2, right? Whether that's in service or cash. Like, I just believe that whenever someone does something for me or invests in me, then I have to give them a return on investment that's double what they're giving, right? Because I make myself indispensable to my customers, to my clients, to those whom I believe I can add value to, right? And I build my business around that. And when I believe that when you build your business around adding value to people, you find that you're not just making transactions, but you're making investments in people. However, as we go about making investment in people, it is very important for us to also remember that we are one of those people. I am my customer. You are your own customer. You are your first client. I am my first client. And you know what? We each know our value. We do. Even though sometimes we're made to question it based on how we are treated and how people interact with us. But you know your value. So if we know our value, why do we chase people to add value to them, even those people who are not adding value to us, based on our own understanding of what value is and how we want to feel valued? Yeah. What is it that causes us to do that? I know for me, it's my trauma. It's the pains I've gone through. It's the struggles I've faced. I do not like to see people go through the struggles I've gone through and not try to help, because I know the pain. It's familiar pain. I think we try to save people from familiar hells, familiar trauma, familiar pain. And when we see it, it hits a note within us. And so we just want to sing, and we just want to support, and we just want to show up, and we just want to say, oh my gosh, I see you're a piece of you is reflecting a piece of me. I want to help you. But what I'm learning about even charity, because I have a charitable organization, and one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in doing charity is, one, it's not my job to save anyone. That's number one. It's not my job to save anyone. But I realize and I've learned that even charity has to be implemented with wisdom. Even charity has to be implemented with wisdom. Even when we're in the spirit of giving, we have to be wise. And we still have to think about value. And we still have to think about our own well-being. You know, it's, I learned this some time ago, that I cannot give from an empty cup. If I'm empty, I've got nothing to give. So then it's critical, it's very important that I first fill my own cup. And sometimes people who have gone through really traumatic events in life, sometimes we don't even remember self when we see someone else that might be going through that same trauma, and we believe that having gone through it, we could help them, because sometimes we want to save someone else from that pain, because pain sometimes have this lasting impact. And honestly, for me, sometimes I feel like, man, if I could prevent you from 10 years of just poor decisions because of what this one pain did to you, if I could do that, I would want to, I would love to, I wish I could. But I also have to recognize my own limitations, that I can't help you unless you let me in. I can't add value to you unless you recognize my own value. No matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we try to help others, if they are not open to that help, to that support, if they don't see you for your value and the value you bring to their lives, it doesn't matter how much you do. It doesn't matter how hard you fight for them. I remember once saying to a client of mine, I can no longer fight you for you. I can no longer fight you for you because I am showing up. I'm getting results for you, but you cannot see it. And so at some points in my life, I even started wondering, do I have any value? Why can't they see my value? Then I have to realize my own truth. I'm like, no, I know my own value. I know how valuable I am. First of all, I've invested in myself, real hard cash. I've done education. I've gotten degrees. I've gotten certification. I've gone through training. I've gone through experiential learning. I know my value. You know your value. Do not let anyone negatively influence you to question your own value. You know the value you bring to every single relationship. You know the value you bring to every single space that you enter. You know your value. You know your value, right? So don't you ever in life let anyone get into any, facilitate any relationship within which you feel of less value than you know you are, because you know your value. And that is something I had to learn. And not only did I have to learn it, I had to put it in practice. I had to start putting it in practice because I was exhibiting behaviors that I didn't like. And I'm still learning to heal from those things, to change from those things. I was screaming on the top of my voice. I was all like, just trying to get through to someone, to get someone to see I am valuable. And then it hit me. I shouldn't have to do that. And so if I'm in a space where I have to prove my value, this isn't my space. I mean, fair enough, when you just meet someone, you exchange credentials, and it's like when I started the show or even in the description, I say who I am, what I'm about, so that for those of you who are meeting me for the first time, you have an idea of who I am. But if we're spending time together, I shouldn't have to feel the need to constantly remind you that I'm valuable. If I have to, I'm in the wrong relationship. And so, or I'm in a good relationship, but I'm investing too much in this relationship. Because one of the things I'm also learning is free flow. I'm learning free flow. Yes? No struggle love, no struggle money. That's what I say. No struggle love. We do not do struggle love. We do not do struggle money. That was my lesson from having gone through feeling as though I had to prove myself to someone who isn't necessarily adding value to me, but someone I'm seeking to add value to. Yes. So in creating that mission for myself, no struggle love, no struggle money, what I realized is I don't have to struggle in a relationship that doesn't work. And one of the mistakes I was making that caused me to be adding more value and not getting any ROI on it was that I was over adding. It's like I was over investing in certain relationships when the relationship wasn't calling for it. And so it's like I'm giving, you know, that I think it's something in the Bible that said, throwing your pearls to swine. And I don't say that in a disrespectful way. But really giving your best to someone who simply cannot see the value, and so they cannot value what you're giving, what you're investing in that relationship. And so one of the biggest lessons I learned from that was don't over add value where it isn't necessary or it isn't required of you. So I've learned to flow. And by that I mean I learned to acknowledge what is coming to me freely and bless that, value that, accept that, but do not ask for more and do not give more than is required. Just accept what is given, use it for what it is. What isn't useful to you, discard that and focus on the best part of it, the part that is useful to me. And then double that in return. I don't need to triple it. I don't need to quadruple it. You see what I'm saying? So if someone gives me an hour of their time, I can give them 2 hours of mine. I don't need to give them 10. Right? Because now when I give them 10, I start feeling like I'm now overcompensating. Right? I think a 100% ROI is the best to be expected on any rich, on an investment, right? And that's a maximum I'm saying. And I'm not saying people can't earn more, but for me, I'm saying, especially when it comes to investing myself, I don't think I need to give others investment in me more than 100% return. So if you give me an hour, I can give you two. You give me a dollar, I give you back two. Yeah? To add value back to you. But I don't need to, if you give me a dollar, give you back 10 or 100. Because chances are, if you gave me a dollar and I gave you 100, you may only be able to recognize $2 out of it and not the other 8 or the other 98. You know what I mean? So I had to learn that I should accept people where they are and not try to get more out of them because I am giving more of myself. Do you know what I mean? So when I were in spaces where I felt like I'm giving so much and you're just, I'm giving 100% and you're showing up with your 2%, I was on top of my voice. I'm screaming, we're in a business relationship or we're in a romantic relationship. Why aren't you giving me back the value I'm bringing? Until it hit me. They're giving you their best. This person is giving you their best. Now I'm supposed to assess that best and determine if it meets my value. I'm supposed to assess their best and determine, is this a good enough investment for me based on my value, my personal value, my economic value, my spiritual value, right? Because I know my value. We all know our value, even whether we accept it or not, whether we are able to call it or not, we know what we're value. We know our value. Yeah. So we have to start acting like we know our value. So what I've learned to do is meet people where they are. Meet people where they are. And I try to exceed the expectations, not by meeting their demands, but by giving a return on their investment, a 100% increase in value. You give me an hour of your time, I'm available for 2 hours for you. See? How that works, but I don't need to give you 5 and 10 and 20 or a whole day. If you're giving me an hour, I don't need to give you a whole day. And when I regulate myself that way, I feel more valued because I am seeing the investment I'm making. I'm also seeing the charity that I'm doing. I also see how I'm adding value to others. I see it. But when I'm depleted or when I overgive, I just feel undervalued. And it's not because of what they're doing, it's because of how I'm investing, right? So today the message is you know your value. Now act like it. Act like you know your own value. You know your value. You know your value. And so in relationships, what we have to learn to do is make changes, right? Change, right? And oftentimes what we try to do is change another person, but we can't change another person. Who we can change, who we have the power to change, is ourselves. And if we're able to regulate self, we may be able to influence others positively with positive outcomes. But someone who's not self-regulated cannot influence anyone else. And that's why sometimes persons would be like, even on certain platforms, like maybe they're on YouTube or they're doing podcasting or whatever, and they're wondering, why is it that I'm not able to influence persons to follow me? Because you have to first learn, you have to demonstrate that you yourself can lead yourself, can influence yourself, right? You yourself can regulate yourself, empower yourself before we can start expecting to influence others. You know your value. Act like it. right? If you're in a relationship that's not working, that's not making you happy, that's not making you feel fulfilled, that's not making you feel valued, it doesn't necessarily mean the relationship is bad for you. It doesn't necessarily mean that you need to disconnect and throw away that relationship. It doesn't necessarily mean that. There are some relationships that are toxic that we should just remove ourselves from, right? Or at least until we can sort out our own toxicity and they can sort out theirs, right? But not all relationships that faces those challenges necessarily mean we need to remove the person from our lives. Maybe what we need to do is check the value we're adding against the value we were receiving. Sometimes we over-deliver. And when we over-deliver sometimes, especially if we're not in awareness of it, we sometimes hold other people accountable for us over-delivering to them. Sometimes we hold other people accountable for us over-delivering to them. Because we have our own brokenness, we want to fix somebody who didn't ask us to fix them. Because we felt lonely, we want to overcompensate by giving our time away to people who don't enjoy our company. See, we over-deliver, and when we do that, we suffer. We suffer the consequences of over-delivering. We do. We actually do. So as I'm learning, I share it. And like I said, I'm regaining confidence in myself to do my podcast and everything. And I have persons reach out to me like, where are the new episodes and stuff like that? And it's just that I went through a process of overvaluing and over-delivering value to the point where I started feeling depleted. And I started feeling like my voice doesn't matter. I started feeling that my voice doesn't matter. So even though I would listen back to what I say and think, wow, that just inspired me. Did I say that? You know? Or I would read something I write and I'll be like, wow, that just empowered me. Like I wrote this poem called the title is Overcomer's Prayer. And I just want to share it with you for someone who may be going through something similar to what I've gone through. And I still work to deal with and manage and overcome. If you've gone through it, then I want to say this to you, that it's okay. Number one, it's okay. It is okay. You know, whatever it is your flaw is, whatever it is that you're overgiving, or whoever it is you feel like you're adding more value than is necessary to, the first thing is, it's okay. It is okay. And now that we recognize it, we can treat it. Right? Now that we've recognized it, we can treat it. But first we have to acknowledge it, and then we have to call it out for what it is. You know, we have to say it by name. I am overcompensating. I am overgiving. I am overinvested. Right? And when we're able to acknowledge that, then we're able to treat it. We're able to look at it and say, okay, hold on, hang on here. This particular person over here, they're giving me what they're giving me based on what they have. And so maybe what they have time to receive is only maybe two times over what they're giving me. Just enough to say, and the extra 100% is gratitude and adding back value to other people, right? So for me, if you invest a dollar in me, I like to give it back $2, whether it's in service, whether it's in whatever. I always love exceeding the expectations of those who I believe or I can see are adding value to me, right? And the reason I do that is gratitude. I want to let the person know that I'm grateful. Thank you for investing in me. Thank you for caring about me. Thank you for adding value to my life, right? And I also want to reinforce to them that I too am adding value to you. So I didn't just give you back what you gave me, but I sought to give you even more than what you gave me. So you'd have gained on top of what you gave to me. So that is how I treat it. And then for those persons where I was saying just now, where there are persons in your life who may not be adding value to you the way you think they should, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to get rid of them. What it means is we need to stop over-delivering. And when putting a stop to over-delivering could mean we have misplaced people in our lives. And sometimes we do that. Misplace them, give them positions that they didn't even ask for, that they're constantly telling us they are not suitable for and they're not willing to return investment on, right? Like sometimes we have a really, really good friend that should never become a lover, but we've made them a lover when what they are is a friend. Sometimes we have acquaintances who we put in friend category who should never be friends. They're just an acquaintance. I'm going to tell you something I learned, but I'm going to tell you after I share this with you. This is called Overcomer's Prayer, and it's on my website at walkingindivinepurpose.com. And I'm just going to share that just in case, you know, divinepurpose.com, just in case you want to go read it later. Or use it as a prayer for yourself, because I pray it. I literally go there, sit down, and because sometimes I pray on the fly, but other times I just want to be more intentional with my prayer. So I write prayers so that I can go back to them and I can say this prayer with intention, you know? So here it is. I'm going to share this with you now, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about how sometimes we need to reposition people in our lives and how we misplace them sometimes. And I'm going to give you share an experience with you that I had with my gardener. I'm going to share it with you.
Overcomer's Prayer. Lord, please give me the strength to survive it. Grant me the wisdom to learn from it. Empower me with a will to leave it behind. Equip me with the courage to forgive the cause of it. Inspire me with the knowledge to deal with it. Teach me the patience to go through it. Guide my feet away from it. Let me know my ability to cope with it. Redirect my mind to never entertain it. Strengthen my heart to heal from it. Bestow on me the faith to overcome it. Speak to me so I cannot attend to it. Guide my consciousness so I won't repeat it. Change my thoughts so I cannot be victimized by it.
For more from Coach Wrights, visit walkingindivinepurpose.com. Thank you for listening.
So that was a prayer that I wrote. As I was going through, I wrote that poem back in, I think, about 2015. I went through some very depressive episodes, and I learned, I realized that I thought my prayers weren't being effective. But no, as I look back at it, I realized that I wasn't praying effectively. So what I did to change when I realized that, I'm like, okay, I'm praying, but I'm not seeing the results coming to me, right? I'm not seeing it. It doesn't mean it wasn't coming. It means I just wasn't seeing it. And so I wrote this poem because I was trying to heal from my trauma so that my vision could become clear, because my vision was so impaired by my trauma, by my pain, and the toxicity that festered around that trauma and there was that pain that I've gone through. So I had to clear my vision. I had to become intentional about my praying. And so I wrote that poem, and it's called the Overcomer's Prayer, where I just asked God to, and when I say God, I'm referencing my understanding of him, of God, right? You don't need to believe in the God I believe in. Trust your own understanding of the God creator, that the higher power in your life. But for me, the God of my understanding. And so I wrote that poem, you know, called The Overcomer's Prayer, just saying, help me to use this thing that broke me. You know, help me to use my broken pieces. Help me to use my brokenness. Help me to use to leverage my breakdown. That's what this prayer is about. Give me the strength to survive it, the wisdom to learn from it, the will to leave it behind, right? The toxicity of it behind, right? And instead of lamentating the pain to celebrate the testimony, right? That's what this prayer is about. So now let me share with you an experience I had with my gardener. So I had a gardener and that I worked with who was doing great, fantastic, never had an issue with him. He was perfect for what I needed. I got value for value, yes? But I met this other person who I had some insects inside my home that I was afraid of. And so I got someone who did pest control. And he was also wonderful. He was great. So I got so comfortable with the person who was a pest control because he had to come into my home, inside my house, in order to do it. And I felt comfortable with the person when he came into the house and he did it anyway, he handled it. And I remember he came one day, well, not just one day, but whenever he comes, he is the kind of person who he adds value, right? So if you hire him for A, he'll give you A squared. See, I saw that in him because it's also in me. So I realized he's another person like me where he doubles the value when he's hired. So if you hire him for one thing, he'll find different things to also do. So I remember he went through and he fixed the windows that I have. It has the net on it, the mesh to keep the insects out. But there were some windows where the mesh had pulled out of the thing. So it looked broken, right? And so when he came, I didn't ask him to. He just went around the house and he went to all the windows. I paid him to spray. But in addition to spraying, he went around the house and he fixed all the screens that were seemingly broken. When he did that, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so wonderful. He takes initiative. I didn't have to ask him to do that. He just did that. And I'm so grateful. It was just so amazing that he did that for me. I was so thankful. So I now, right, instead of just saying thank you and maybe next time tip him, you know, or maybe next time do something special or return the favor in other ways. Just tip. I think tip is the most appropriate. Or say thank you, you know, or give him lunch that day or something. I don't know. But instead of me doing that, this is what I did. I started getting to know him and stuff. And so I was thinking of also spraying the lawn, right? Because it gave me a thought. And then he was telling me that he was my neighbor's gardener. And he was saying, you see the lawn over there? You could lie on it because I spray it. I treat it so the insects are not in the yard either. Things that, you know, you'd be afraid of. So I was like, oh, great idea. I need that. And I'd love to have that. So I know I already had a good gardener, you know. I now put my good gardener aside and said, okay, let me take on a new gardener. Since he's already demonstrated to me that he's good at this, the pesticide, or is it insecticide? Getting rid of the insects. And he gave me bonus by fixing my window screens for me and stuff. So I thought, why don't I just invest right here? Why don't I also just have him be the gardener? And then I just pay him for it, you know? Since he takes initiative, my other gardener just does his gardening. He does nothing extra, you know? But then when I did that, the reliability changed. I realized that as much as he may be a good gardener and as great as he was at coming once in a while for my insects, he did not have that kind of availability to come twice a month for the garden, right? So it's not that he isn't valuable, but I'm now overvaluing. I'm over adding value to him that he didn't invite on himself. He didn't ask for it, right? So instead of me just being grateful and rewarding what he is doing, I start adding more to his plate. I start misplacing him. I was now misplacing him. So he started falling short as a gardener. And so I had to quickly catch myself, okay, hold on. We're not losing this guy as a as a person who comes and controls the pests in the, in this house. Oh, no, 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 we're not. Because I need him for that more than I need him for the garden, because I already have someone else for the garden. I don't have another option. As a matter of fact, it took me a very, very long time to find someone to deal with the insects. So I'm like, I don't want to compromise on this value that I'm getting. So I had to quickly catch myself, because what I didn't want is to put him in a play, in a position that he could not adequately serve me. And then we start becoming chaotic in each other's lives, where I'm trying to hold him accountable and he's trying to explain to me his limitations. And then we'll go back and forth. So I saw it and I nipped it in the bud right away. So I said to him very kindly, you know what? I will not compromise you being the person who comes inside my home to get rid of the things that bug me on the inside. Bug. pun not intended, but there you go. Right? I don't want to compromise. I don't want to lose the person who gets rid of the things that scares me to death. I can live with my gardening not done for weeks because I'm not out there. I don't have to go out there. I can live with the grass growing as tall as they need to. What I cannot live with is insects on the inside of the house. Okay, so this one solution I've found, I can't compromise. So I just let him know that I love you for what you do and I don't want to change that. And so I want to apologize to you for even going there in the first place. See, I had to recognize that I was misplacing this person in my life. Because someone comes and they wow us and they may do things that we've been waiting for that no one else did or no one else have done, it doesn't mean that they deserve certain positions in our lives. Maybe that's all their purpose was to do that on that one day and then they disappear. Right? And I think and my intention is not to hurt, of course. So if you feel offended, I apologize. But I think this also affects us when someone passes away. Why do we mourn? Because we're losing. We're losing. We feel we're losing value. We feel we're losing a connection. Something that served us. Something that filled us. Right? And so sometimes that's what makes it so difficult for us to let things go. It's not because we love them. That's what we tell ourselves. Oh, I love you so much and I'm not going to spend time with you anymore. Or I'm not going to. It's because of the value we were getting. So what if we could value people where they are, value people based on what they are able to give. And this is it, right? We know our value. I said that before, and that's the topic. You know your value. Now act on it. We fail others, I think, and ourselves. We fail ourselves and others when we do not act like we know our value and communicate it. Yeah? If someone, like, let me use my gardener again. He could also have turned back to me and say, you know what? I love doing the insects, taking care of the insects for you. I love doing that. But I'm not going to have the time to be your gardener. He could have said that too. So we have to be accountable to our value and to our own need to feel valued by communicating our limitations to persons and communicating our boundaries to persons. We are holding people accountable for things we have never told them. We actually hold people accountable for requests we've never made to them, assuming they should just know. Oh, you love me, you should know. How? Even if I have some idea that you are hungry because you did not eat all day, I don't know that you're not on fasting. I don't know that you're not fasting. I don't know that pizza is what you want. I may think you may be hungry by my observation and the conclusions and my assessment, but I wouldn't know that you actually are ready to eat and what exactly you'd like to eat and how you'd like to eat it and where you may like to go to eat it. So we have the responsibility to effectively communicate. And if we communicate it one way and they don't understand, And by don't understand, I mean they're not acting the way we're expecting them to. Chances are they don't understand. Communicate it more effectively. Seek to gain their understanding. And that may mean first you understanding them, you first forgiving them, you first acknowledging that, you know what? You're doing your best. You're doing your best. I'm going to scale things down. Still acting in your best interest. And even if that means that I exit your life, it is still some value I'm seeking to add to you because I realize I'm toxic with you. I'm bringing toxicity to you. So I'm going to exit. That is still value of peace of mind I'm adding. By leaving you, I give you peace of mind. Now it's your job to let me go. See? You know your value. I know my value. I know my value. Nobody has to tell me what I'm valued. I know my value. I'm amazing. I'm wonderful. You know, I think I have a, what do they call it? Contagious smile. Like when I smile, other people smile. And I'm speaking that into being, you know? I want to bring warmth and truth to people's lives. I want to add value to people because I have a lot of value. So I have a lot of value to add. But I don't want to add the kind of value or I have to understand that what I value may not be what you value. What my capacity is may not be your capacity. So I want to love people and respect them where they are and not overinvest in them in ways that they cannot manage the investment. And I don't want to underinvest either. So I'm going to end this now by saying, I'm just wrapping up because, you know, but I just want to end this by saying, you know your value. Don't you ever forget it. But start acting like you know your value. Act like it. Communicate your boundaries. Get clear about those boundaries and write them in simple sentences, right? To become intentional about it, write it until you can memorize it in simple sentences. Because sometimes when we're communicating those boundaries, they're so everlastingly long that the people get lost in the sauce. So keep it simple. And to keep it simple, you're going to have to get it simple for yourself. And remember, if you don't remember anything, you are your first responsibility, your first client, your first customer is you, right? You are the model that your other clients will look at for service. You are the demo. So add value to yourself first. Add value to yourself first. Fill your cup. And allow it to run over. And that which spills is for others. Okay, thank you so much, so much, so much. I cannot pronounce all the names, but NJustWKQA, thank you for joining me. A101, Katas, hello. John, Lolo, Hobo Chillin, Matty, Mac Matface, Jessica, Reshma, PPZW, UAWN, is that Tyrol and YDIAEZHY. I just want to say thank you. I bless you for coming on this morning and participating. And also Emperor, thank you so much for being in the studio. I just want to say thank you so much for being here and listening. And it is my hope that some value was added to you just by participating and by listening to this podcast. And for those of you who are listening on YouTube or on radio or wherever you are listening to this, whether it's on my social media page, my website, wherever, I hope it added some value to your day. If for nothing, I hope that it makes you think or become even more aware of your value and that you add value to yourself and you do not sacrifice your value chasing people because you see where you could add value to them, but they're not necessarily receptive of your investment. Invest wisely. Invest your value wisely. Invest your valuables wisely, and you are your most valuable. May you be blessed. May you have the best, absolutely best day today. I mean, I hope that whatever your weather, whatever is your favorite weather, that's the weather you experience. Whatever it is that you're looking for in people, that it pours out on you today. I pray that grace pours out on you today, and mercy and kindness and warmth and love and joy and peace pour out on you. And I just want to leave you with the poem that I wrote. I'm going to read it and then I'm going to play the audio again for you. It's called Overcomer's Prayer. And let me just share it with you. Lord, please give me the strength to survive it. Grant me the wisdom to learn from it. Empower me with the will to leave it behind. Equip me with the courage to forgive the cause of it. Inspire me with the knowledge to deal with it. Teach me the patience to go through it. Guide my feet away from it. Let me know my ability to cope with it. Redirect my mind to never entertain it. Strengthen my heart to heal from it. Bestow on me the faith to overcome it. Speak to me so I cannot attend to it. Guide my consciousness so I won't repeat it. Change my thoughts so I cannot be victimized by it. And I just have a little thing that I said. It's on my website, Walking in Divine Purpose, for those who, walkingindivinepurpose.com, for those who want to read the poem or other, read this prayer or other prayers that I've written. And I just have this that I've wrote underneath that, this poem. There's no problem too big for us to overcome. No crime too sinful for us to forgive. And the moment there is where you are in disobedience of God and that is not worth it, or perhaps for some people it is, I have nothing but love as I await the day I no longer need to be here. I will surely be happy to go. And so today I live. I own my truth moment by moment. I hope that gave you the kind of comfort it gives me. So you see, I wrote those prayers for myself too. And if others see value in it, then that's the spillover. That's my cup running over. May you be blessed. Now, I'm going to play the poem for you, and then you won't hear from me again. Thank you, 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 thank you for your support. God bless you.
Overcomer's Prayer. Lord, please give me the strength to survive it. Grant me the wisdom to learn from it. Empower me with the will to leave it behind. Equip me with the courage to forgive the cause of it. Inspire me with the knowledge to deal with it. Teach me the patience to go through it. Guide my feet away from it. Let me know my ability to cope with it. Redirect my mind to never entertain it. Strengthen my heart to heal from it. Bestow on me the faith to overcome it. Speak to me so I cannot attend to it. Guide my consciousness so I won't repeat it. Change my thoughts so I cannot be victimized by it.
For more from Coach Wrights, visit walkingindivinepurpose.com. Thank you for listening.
I am purpose-driven. It's not personal. It's purpose. When you see me, there's deeper than what meets the eyes. There is a soul, a spirit, a divine purpose. I am being. Join me Thursdays at 10 a.m. Finding Happy on UME Radio, Thursdays at 10 a.m.